the first one, Orlando. If Jesus came to us in nowadays, so today, claiming he was the Son of God, would people believe that? Would you believe that, and why?
If Jesus came back claiming to be the Son of God now, well, that's an interesting question, because as when he came the first time, there was a kind of pledge that he was going to come back once again. The interesting thing about it was, though, that when he in the description of how he would come back, it was hinting at a very different kind of appearance to how he came the first time. The first time he did become a bit of a megastar quite quickly in his ministry, but a number of people didn't take him on board. Now, if he was to come back, would people believe him? I think they would, because if he were to come back, he would come back in serious style. But nevertheless, I always think it's worth asking the question, why should I believe you? Why should we believe this is Jesus? Why should we believe this person is the Son of God just because he claims to be? There have been all sorts of people who have come and claimed such a title for themselves. And I guess the question would be, well, are we prepared to look at his credentials? If somebody came to my house over in Portswood and they drove up in a kind of big red van with a kind of insignia on the back of it, and they were carrying a whole lot of mail, and they knocked on the door and said, "Postman," and they gave my mail to me, then I think you'd be fair. I could be fairly confident this was actually the postman. Everything around him appears to be suggesting he is the postman he claims to be. And I suppose what I want to be asking the same question of anybody coming today to claiming to be Jesus, claiming to be the Son of God. Does he look the part? Are the things about how he's presenting himself ringing true?
Thanks, so that answers your question. I've got another one which I haven't told you about, so this will kind of appeal to your intellect and your background. All the historians you mentioned were born well after Jesus' death, so their accounts are presumably only heresy. This guy says, can't you see that the amount of copies surviving isn't a good example of how something reliable is? For example, Hercules, this person's used. They're just looking for an answer.
Two questions there, I think. One of them is, the latter was, just because there are lots of copies doesn't mean it actually happened, comment. And the first one was, what was it again? It was... all historians after Jesus. Well, the second point is not true. Some of those historians were actually almost contemporaries of Jesus. One of them I actually quoted earlier on. A number of them were shortly after to Jesus. But also you have, as well as those historians, you have a wealth of other evidence too. One of the interesting things was a lot of people are very keen to disprove some of the claims about Jesus, saying, oh, well, do you know what, it's just too long a gap, it's too long, people could have made things up in the time. Actually, historical research shows that Jesus was worshipped as God very, very shortly after his own ministry. Rightly or wrongly, that's up to you to determine. But that's the construction of the thing. Richard Dawkins, who many of you will know as the author of The God Delusion, makes the claim that you can learn pretty much nothing about the life of Jesus from his writings, which actually date to earlier than the gospel writings. It's just not true. I want to say to Richard Dawkins, let's just read, shall we? Because if you go through the material that Paul of Tarsus wrote, you'll find all sorts of things about Jesus, written much earlier than the Gospels. So you've got both non-Christian and Christian sources actually quite soon after the death of Jesus. The other question was the comparison with Hercules. Now, it should be, I hope that's a fairly easy one to deal with, because when you're writing a myth, it presents itself very obviously as myth. When you read the Gospels, and the writers of the Gospels, like Luke, begin. Have we got Luke's Gospels here anywhere? No. If you can Google it, you can find a Bible somewhere. Look up Luke's Gospel. See how he begins, and you'll notice that he's presenting his biography of Jesus in clear-cut historical terms. He talks about trying to find an ordered account. He talks about eyewitnesses and the testimony that he's used in order to build up his account. It's very clear he's not presenting it as myth in the way that many of those earlier writers, the legends and the myths, were in fact describing.
Great, thanks. Again, I hope that answered your question. And then finally, we talked a bit about Jesus being a kind of good guy. This person is asking, how can God or Jesus be all good and yet all powerful?
How can he be all good and yet all powerful? I'm just trying to think what the question behind the question is there. Is it a philosophical question, do you think? What do you think? Perhaps, yeah. Is it possible to be all good and yet all powerful? Well, in a sense, you want to look... You can actually frame a question like that in abstract terms and say, well, hang on, does goodness imply the capacity for badness? In other words, if you're all powerful, can't you do anything? Which means, can't you do bad things as well as good things? Now, I don't know if that's what the question was driving at. Your guess is as good as mine. And if it's your question, then come and grab me afterwards, because I'm not going to hang around. I'm not going to rush off. I will be hanging around. So come and quiz me. But in a sense, when we talk about the power of God or the power of the Son of God, of Jesus himself, we're not talking about him being so powerful that he can do logically impossible things. Can you build two mountains without a valley in between them? Well, by definition, you can't, because the definition of a mountain is that... Do you see what I mean? So it's just playing with words, in a sense. Jesus, though, did show extraordinary power and showed an extraordinary goodness. And I hope that those of you who've experienced something of God for yourselves, but also those who've perhaps begun to investigate something of Jesus, would have been as impressed as I am about the extraordinary compassion, the extraordinary goodness, the extraordinary love and care that this historical character Jesus showed for those around him, and by extension, that we feel for ourselves today.